What's your plan when your flaws are on display? Did you just say you don't have a plan?
I don't have a plan.
You don't have flaws to be on display, so you don't need a plan.
I don't have a plan. It's that's a piercing question right to the spleen. I think I probably just need to shut up and just listen.
Yes, listen to the guy whose flaws are frequently and continually on display. That would
this
be
is
me.
This is a tough one because I think we could dive quickly into the pool of hypocrisy.
Yeah. I think that's one of the reasons that parenting is the hardest job and there's not a close second is that you're always one decision, one action away from being in this exact situation where your flaws are on display. One overreaction, one wrong step, boom, flaws all over the place. Can open worms everywhere, to quote Chandler Bing.
This takes me back to the classroom where teens are very, very excited about pointing out your flaws when you make a mistake.
Don't you love that?
I used to make all sorts of mistakes. One mistake I usually wouldn't make, though, is misspelling because it's one of my strengths when there's many other weaknesses, but I would purposely misspell words horrifically and just keep a straight face, mainly just for fun, for my own entertainment.
Just to see who would say anything.
Yeah. It got old though, because after a while you would see the smiles, but nobody dared raise their hand and said, I think you spelled ramification wrong.
Did you ever do artwork on the board and have kids make fun of your art? Like you did driver's ed. Did you ever like draw an intersection up there and screw something up and they would just relish the opportunity to just make fun of you?
Well, I'm not going to put any of my flaws on display here.
You know, I actually think that's one of the greatest mindset shifts is enjoying your flaws being on display.
Being able to laugh at yourself?
A little bit. And even more than that, being able to appreciate when other people notice your flaws. It's like, oh, wow, you know, thanks for noticing that. Thanks for the feedback. And just rolling with it as an opportunity. I think that's a great modeling opportunity for us when our kids notice. Because how many times do we point out their flaws? We do that a lot, right? With our performing teens and the athletes that we have, you know, we'll point, what'd you do that for?
Yeah.
Point out some of the problems or flaws they have. When they do it to us, we're showing them the template. Here's how you respond when somebody else points out your flaws.
You could walk around the house just with a firm grip on Brené Brown's Gifts of Imperfection.
Gifts of Imperfection.
Yeah.
That is a good book.
I have not read that one, but
I have. It's a really, really good one.
Well, that's because you're perfect. Like you're just that perfect dude. And so of course you've read that book. Do I need to read that book?
I highly recommend you read it.
Put that in the queue.
There's not a lot of books you need to read in your life, but there definitely is a very long list of books that you would benefit highly from if you read. That's probably on that list.
Do we have an example or a story?
Oh gosh.
Do you? I mean, I'm not willing to reveal any of my flaws.
Well, but I mean, and I think this happens. I hope it happens to all of us as parents coming home from my son's baseball game and we're driving down the road. And the next thing you know, red and blues are on and I'm getting pulled over because it was one of those funny roads where it goes from 55 down to 40. And when you're going 55, you're going uphill, then you crest the hill. And then on the way down, the speed limit drops.
Of course, the hill.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So I get on the downside of that hill and I'm foot off the accelerator, but
did you get a ticket?
Well, yeah, I did, but I actually fought it and I won. Cause
really?
the cop fought the law.
I fought the law
and I won. Yeah. It's kind of cool. So I don't know if that continues the example, but my son's there and I'm just, okay, I can't lose it. I can't lose it.
How old was he?
Oh, he would have been 10 or 11. So, you know, pretty impressionable.
Very impressionable.
I remember having that dialogue in my head. It's okay, don't lose it, because this is kind of humiliating. You can't, don't start a fight with the officer. And but part of why I was able to win it is the cop was like, yeah, you were slowing down, but you didn't get down fast enough. And I'm like, well, how come you didn't just let me go and get all the way there? So anyway, that was an experience for me. You got any? There's so many as a coach, as a parent, there's gotta be one okay. for you.
I don't know if I have a specific example, but there's times as a coach, and I like to think if I was crazy enough, if I was insane enough to get back into sport coaching, I think there would be times where getting too emotional was a flaw. I think
there's still time like that for me.
I mean, sitting in my seat right here, it's easy to say that, oh, show some poise, show some calm. And I think there were many examples, many times in really heated situations where I did do that. But there's also the other times where my imperfections clearly showed, more so in my younger coaching days.
Mm-hmm.
When you're fired up, all idealistic, you're going to tame the lion and
win them all.
Yeah.
That is interesting though, because, you know, when you think about us as on our journey as parents, when our kids are most impressionable, we're younger as parents and we're more likely to have those emotional lose it moments when they're super impressionable. And then by the time we get it right, they're old enough that it doesn't matter as much.
Well, I think this is why grandparents just get it better.
They win, yeah.
Because you look back and you have experience on your side and you've built up some wisdom.
For sure.
Do you ever remember the movie Raising Arizona with Nicolas Cage?
No, I never saw that.
It's a silly comedy, but it is so funny. They're, you know, kidnapping children is not funny, but this is a comedy, and they are kidnapping these triplets or quadruplets. I can't even remember for sure. And when they sneak out of the window and they get in the car, I think it's Holly Hunter is sitting there with holding the baby, or one of them, or yeah, I think they just stole one because they had too many. They had more than they needed. And so they just took one. But he's grabbing the book, Dr. Spock. Do you remember Dr. Spock? It's one of the most famous
parenting stuff.
Parenting book mainly for young children, new parents. And he says, got something like, hey, got the instructions. And we don't really have an instruction book. And when your son is 10 or 11 and you're getting pulled over for a speeding ticket, boy, you're on the hot seat. And how are you going to act? Are you going to be hypocritical? How would you describe hypocrisy?
It's pretty much the do what I say, not what I do thing.
Right.
I'm going to tell you guys, you got to be honest all the time. And then I'm going to turn around, I'm going to lie to you a whole bunch.
Right. So if you're getting multiple speeding tickets and then you're telling your teens to, hey, obey the speed limit, and even trying to hide your speeding tickets, then
yeah, you tell them to drive safe. But then when they're riding with me, I don't drive safe.
Yeah. You may be receiving a red jacket and get inducted into the Hypocritical Parent Hall of Fame. If you're going to do that.
I like that the jacket's red.
They do those, the ceremonies are every September, in case you're
where wondering. Would it be? Where would the hypocrite, like you got football in Canton, Ohio, you got baseball.
Well, we don't want to, well, this is not a desirable Hall of Fame. So it would probably be in someplace terrible, but I do not want I don't want hate mail. I don't want to offend anybody.
You don't want the people like, in El Paso, Texas to be like, wait a minute.
There
I'm
you
not
go.
Saying there it's there. I'm just saying, for example.
Yeah.
Fargo, North Dakota.
You know what? Whatever state you're in, whatever country you're in, pick the worst. Pick that one place that everybody talks about that's the armpit of your geographical region.
New Jersey.
Ooh. I don't know if we have any listeners in New Jersey.
No, that's from Madagascar. They make fun of New Jersey.
I'm not... Well, you didn't say that.
That's why it popped into my head, though.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I think is a great way to look at this as parents is, what are some actions we could take to kind of step into that ownership of some of our mistakes? And I think a great challenge for parents is to look for opportunities to admit a mistake to your teen and then talk about your plan to improve. Like, this is something that I struggle with because your teens know, and they're super critical of us because they know so much more than we do. So sometimes it's beneficial to almost validate their point of view, be like, hey, you know what? You know how you call me out on that? I actually think you're right. This is my plan for getting better at this. Will you check me on this?
I like it.
And almost invite them as part of it. I think that's a really good way to model a healthier way of dealing with some of the imperfections that we have.
You know, similar to that is the whole idea of walking the talk.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the idea of trying to identify something that you are not great at. It's a definite, you have a definite flaw or weakness. You want it to be better. And instead of just letting it go or telling your teen that you're going to get better at it, you just start doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to, for an example, I'll say cleaning up an area. It could be a room, could be the bathroom, it could be part of a kitchen, whatever. But as a parent, you're on your teen because you need to call disaster cleanup for their bedroom occasionally. And so, but then you walk into your room and there's some clutter and mess that has accumulated. So instead of talking about it, you just start doing it.
This hurts because I'm sitting in my little office here, and what you can't see on the camera here is that it is a dump. I can't say anything to my kids. But like you're saying, if I just started cleaning this up, organizing my space.
Right. This is where you go Jocko Willink, is because his extreme ownership, I just love it. He just says, How do you start getting up earlier in the morning? You get up earlier in the morning.
So simple.
How do you start cleaning your bedroom? How do you start keeping it clean? You start keeping it clean.
You almost sound just like him too. That's kind of cool.
No.
Can we shave your head and give you 50 extra pounds of muscle?
No.
I think you can do that with, like, not just actions. I think that's a good thing to do with, like, values as well. In fact, it's probably better. Values would be a really good place to demonstrate that.
Give me an example.
I value honesty. And so I'm just pushing to be more honest in the things that I do. Or I value hard work. Am I now living in alignment with valuing hard work? So I think those would be two good examples, but you know, as parents, that's one thing we want to see, especially with our athletes and performers, is what are the values or the qualities that are going to help them to excel in their areas, and then model those, walk the talk, like you said.
Love it.
Another fun thing to do, I like doing this as a teacher, as a coach, and as a parent, but sharing stories of failures that I've had and how I've bounced back from them. Because I think one of the things that our teen, especially athletes and performers, struggle with is sometimes a failure can feel really permanent in the moment. But hearing a story of somebody that's failed and then came back from it allows them to maintain a broader perspective. And so when they hear, oh yeah, well, you know, Crandall screwed this up, or my dad screwed this up, And, you know, it sucked for a while, and I can be honest about that and own that, but I bounce back. And if they can see that, it helps them to jump in on their journey and be like, yeah, I can bounce back too.
Beautiful. Really like that one. You ready for a difficult one?
Yeah, always.
I think the more difficult these things are to do, probably the better they are for us.
Mm-hmm.
And one would be thinking about a time when your flaw or your blind spot or your weakness was pointed out by your team, and sitting down with pen and paper and just writing.
It's a great way to learn from that.
Write out your thoughts, your feelings, how you reacted, what you would do better. I go back to my best English teachers, writing teachers. Just start writing. Even if it's gibberish, even if it's not even making sense. But the actual movement of your hand with the pen or pencil, very powerful. And I think you would get some insights. I think our parents would really get some good insights.
Yep. Controlling the controllables too. Just keep it focused on how you've dealt with it and journal. That's a great idea. I like rules sometimes. Actually, not rules. That's the wrong way to say that. Traditions is a better thing. And maybe a family tradition could just be how you deal with your mistakes. Yeah, like family mantras. Do you have any family mantras or mottos or quotes that you guys and your family throw around each other all the time?
Well, they're usually smart aleck related lines or stories.
Not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah. I mean, maybe sometime I'll tell you about the thanks a lot, Speedy. Thanks, that story. But yeah, I'm trying to think if we have any. Well, I know my team's had some. I mean, we mm-hmm. borrowed this from Positive Coaching Alliance was brush it and flush it.
Mm-hmm.
You get into mistake rituals where I think we've discussed this before in one of our performance episodes. We may want to do a longer episode on mistake rituals. But you just, you know, brush it, flush it, thinking of, you know, moving on to the next play, focusing on the present moment.
I think we could help our teens a lot if we have some kind of family tradition. And again, modeling as a parent's the ultimate win there. But like you said, brush it and flush it. We own our mistakes and we learn from them. And it doesn't have to, like, that's kind of clinical as a statement, but
yeah,
as a family, you can come up with those catchy ones, you know, thanks a lot, Speedy, or whatever it needs to be for a family. But I think that's a great way to help your teen athlete and performers deal with some of those things, is have a family thing that they can go back to.
You don't have to be inducted in the Hypocritical Parent Hall of Fame in El Paso, Texas.
Or New Jersey.
Or New Jersey.
Or Madagascar.
New Jersey. New Jersey.
It's a dump.
Not New Jersey. Yeah, wrap us up here, Nate.
Well, I think going to the Hypocritical Hall of Fame is actually a good thing if you look at it as owning that and using that as something that you can build on. Showing your kids that it's not about perfection. It's about the process of becoming better, becoming more whole, more complete. And so I think that's what gets you in the Hall of Fame. And you get your red jacket, but it doesn't have to be something you're ashamed of. It's something that you can own, and modeling that ownership of it can help your kids to feel it's okay to own their mistakes and their challenges too. On behalf of Steve Galley, I'm Nate Crandall, and we thank you, our loyal listeners, for tuning in to this episode. If you love what you're learning from the Stop Parenting and Start Coaching podcast, we would appreciate it very much if you would leave us a 5-star review and some glowing comments. We also encourage you to share this episode with your friends and family who are parents of athletes and performers. And if you want to explore further and see what Steve and I are creating to help thousands of parents, athletes, and performers, please visit our company's website at createtransformbecome.com. That's createtransformbecome.com. There you will find a growing number of resources to help you elevate your performance. Thank you again for your support, and we encourage you to create a magical relationship with your athlete and performer.